Okay. Today we're going to talk about what makes our dicks hard. We're going to talk about the stuff that is not necessarily politically correct or fashionable or okay to talk about. I'll start off, but I ask that everybody today go balls out. Specifically.
Yes, somebody giggled over there. That one right there.
Okay, I'll define my terms. My request is that today, of all days, my request is we tell our truths. Even if you don't have anything particularly raunchy, scary, you know, whatever to share, at least share truthfully. That's all I ask. Really share, because it matters. What we're doing is we're not just talking to each other. We're talking to a lot of people out there who want to hear what we have to say. And like, for instance, in my case, I've talked about this in the past. I haven't used a condom in probably 25 years. I'm HIV negative. I've made that choice myself. I stand by it. I'm a top. I haven't had a sexually transmitted disease since 1981, which was the last time I had the clap. Why? Theories why I have not had any STDs. One, I'm a top. They've had studies that have shown that someone who is a top has pretty much the exact same statistical likelihood of seroconverting to become HIV positive, whether he wears a condom or not. And I personally am old enough to remember the days when they didn't call it barebacking, they called it fucking. I can't say that that's something that people are eager for me to spread the news on. But it's something that's out there. So, you know, there's been the studies that have shown certain things. I also am very, very, very certain to play with people who I know their history and who I've invested in. Not that I'm acting like that's safe. Not like I'm pretending that it's anything, you know, any better than any other technique. It just that for whatever it's worth, that's how my life has shown up. As I've shared before, you know, these are not necessarily, you know, correct, but we need to have that conversation. We're going to have people come in here as the months go by. We're going to be talking about, you know, the current understandings about safer sex, and they have very important things to share. There isn't a single word that I want to say that is against what they have to say, because their side is just as valid as whatever it is that we say today. But there are people in this room who have secret cravings that they would normally never mention in polite society. Let's face it, we're kinky bastards. We wouldn't be in this room if we weren't. So, anybody want to start with their particular story? Tell us about the brown hanky thing.
Oh, bloody hell. Okay, I've got to break this down for a little bit from the beginning, so some people will actually understand exactly where I come from at this. To me, there's two types of tops out there in this world. There are guys who like ass, and there's the guys who like the actual asshole. I'm more on the asshole. I could care less if you've got a big, beautiful bubble ass or just a flat ass. I don't care. As long as you got a nice little pretty pink asshole, I am happier than hell. Then you also have to be a little bit of a raunchy pig. I do not play with somebody who just got out of the shower or who likes to wear perfume or likes to wear deodorant because I find it fucking disgusting. I'd rather you go run 10 or 15 fucking miles so you get all nice, raunchy, and smelling, just whew. And after you get that way and you explore it a little bit more and you become very comfortable with playing dirty. You know, you don't care if the guy cleans out or not. And then after a while of, you know, accidents of you pulling your dick out and it's dirty, you slowly become very, very comfortable with shit play, and over time, you'll eventually get curious with it. You'll slowly get used to the smell, you'll get curious one day, and you'll end up tasting it. And it's kind of a mind fuck when you actually realize, if you can eat McDonald's, shit isn't going to be a problem. And I'm not going to point any
fingers on who made me discover a couple of things, but one thing I did find out is if you eat a lot of avocados, basically it makes shit taste really sweet. And I've learned this after a while. And it's just one of them things that once you start to get used to it, it's kind of just like a custom of sucking somebody's dick when you're doing sex play. It's one of the reasons I don't like getting on the internet anymore, because I've preferred to talk to somebody for a long time to see if they are around on my level of liking raunchy play like hell. So after a while, it does. The smell will turn you on. The taste of it will turn you on. The sight of it will drive you up the fucking wall, and you're just going to want to fuck like crazy with it.
I have told the story before, but I don't think for posterity, about how I earned my brown hanky. I was in L.A. I was going to be Grand Master Judge, the head judge for L.A. Leather Pride, for the Mr. L.A. Leather Contest. I arrived a few days early. Didn't have any duties at all a few days early. Just I like to arrive early and maybe have some fun, find somebody to fuck, you know, have a good time. Well, at that particular time, I was very much a very popular human being, and everybody knew me and knew of me, which made it really hard for me, because I would go up, let's say I would be at the fault line, and I'd be, you know, doing the mating dance, you know, moving towards a cutie who was, you know, interested in big, tall daddies, and somebody would tap me on the shoulder. Excuse me, Papa Tony, this is my friend George, and he's thinking about running for a title. Could you give him a few tips? I'd say, hang on, hold that thought, you know, and I'd say, I'll talk to you in a little bit. I'm busy right now. And then I'd talk to the cutie, and then, excuse me, Papa Tony, you know, and it was like that. So after about the sixth time, the guy wandered away, and I was frustrated, and I was horny. So then I went up to my very friend, good friend Dave, who was running the contest that weekend, and I poured out my tale of woe, and he says, come here. And he dragged me over to a guy, and he says, Tony, this is Carlos. Carlos, this is Tony. Carlos is a slut. He'll do whatever the hell you want. Go play. Okay, well, he was not lying. Carlos was a serious slut. And we were having a rocking good time. Everything was great. We spent hours and hours and hours. And so then I was sitting on his face. And I'm cutting farts, and I'm getting more and more embarrassed. And so then I'm saying, dude, I've got to go. I've got to run to the bathroom. And he grabs me, and he starts squeezing me like a tube of toothpaste. And I went, well, there you go. I didn't kiss him afterwards, and it didn't make my dick any harder. It really didn't make my dick any harder, but then I thought, I've got a story to tell. So, you know, it hasn't happened since, you know, for what it's worth. But there's that. So let's talk about what we jerk off to. Like, how many people like to visit, let's say, Raw Tops, you know, website where they've got the raunchy, raunchy, raunchy stories, or some other such place. There you go. Anything you'd care to share?
It's, you know, it's a fantasy. It's not something I actively seek out, but got it. It's a big turn on.
What turns on you on the most about it?
It's just the idea of doing something that's forbidden.
Yep.
You know, that's taboo. It's pushing the limits, pushing the edges of what's okay, and crossing over into that zone where now you're in the area where the majority disapproves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and just the idea of the risk is intoxicating. It really is.
Yep. Show of hands, who here can relate to that? All right, so of the people who don't relate, tell me why, please.
I guess I've never been to that site, so I mean, I guess I've not heard of it. So
I was using it as a for instance, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, I guess everyone, I mean, there's certain things that I guess recently that I've started to explore that I haven't done in years, because I always, as I shared with you, I always was brought up that if you do, then it's wrong and you're going to go to hell and, you know, all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So as I've explored, as I got out of my relationship 3 years ago, there's, I mean, I guess voyeurism, I like to watch. kind of like turns me on more so than anything. So if I see something going on with others, I kind of find that intriguing. So I guess I find myself wanting to watch versus be a part of.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
I guess it, to me it's kind of taboo because I feel like if they wanted someone to join in, they would invite. Mm-hmm. So, but I also like the sneakiness of exploring and going out and seeing if I can find it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So what would you like to share about what you just heard? Because I saw you over here reacting rather strongly.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I guess I kind of reacted to his liking the sneakiness of it. I don't know why. Maybe that means I'm a little bit more of an exhibitionist.
Ah. Show of hands. Anybody else who's an exhibitionist? All right. How about how many people here are voyeurs? There you go. A lot of them. A lot of both.
I think the idea of like someone being sneaky and watching me kind of intriguing, interesting. So.
You're probably holy hell in the showers at the gym, aren't you? Just saying. You know, I've been there. I've been there. If it ain't clean by now, it's not going to get clean, you know. So what were you saying? You were giggling.
I'm totally into the voyeurism too. I guess being my thing comes from being kind of inexperienced with a lot of things. Most of my sexual experiences have been in a relationship with other people versus just going out and finding somebody to do or do me or whatever. So I guess when I go out places and stuff, I'm kind of shy and kind of stand back, and that was kind of how I met you at the Eagle weeks and weeks and weeks ago.
I remember it well.
Yes. Yes. Watching you do your thing on Tuesday night, and I was like, wow, that's really interesting.
What intrigued you about what we were doing on Tuesday night? What did you see for the listening audience?
It was kind of a brotherhood thing with the group of guys that was there, and some of the people that were there are here tonight. It just, everybody seemed happy getting along with each other and wanting to try out the flogging and the mm-hmm. different toys and things that you had. I was wanting to go up there too, but I was a little too scared. But then towards the end, when you came and got me and kind of pulled me in and I got a little closer, it was just, mm-hmm. wow, I want to try that sometime.
Well, the reason why I came up to you and grabbed you and pulled you in is because your eyes were about the size of saucers. I mean, that's a big hint that people are interested and want to be invited in. So I'm glad that I did. I'm glad you're here. Anything you'd care to share?
Not really.
Not really. That's fine. It's okay to say no. So then, okay, once again, anybody have anything that they would like to share with their brothers tonight? Again, like I say, somebody's waving their hand. Here, let's hear it. Yes, please.
Mine is actually kind of the opposite of his, because rather than being a voyeur, a friend of mine showed me a video that he made of himself that's, I can't think of the name of the website, it's X something or other where you post your own homemade.
X2.
X2. Like, yeah.
Boy, the rest of you guys knew that one, didn't you?
Yeah. And that just really intrigued me, because I'm usually a shy person, mm-hmm. but there was something about that, there was something that I saw really exciting about the thought of like having people do things to me and having a video taken of it and putting it on a website where other people could see it, and then thinking that maybe even one of my friends who's not into mm-hmm. leather or whatever might actually accidentally see it.
Mm-hmm.
Accidentally.
Yeah, yeah. So what's your birthday?
May 1st,
okay. So by May 1st, we've got to figure out a way to set that up for him. That's his birthday. Spoken because I am a pimp daddy. Yes, Smarty. I mean,
I would have to say that the voyeurism and the exhibitionist, I was really, really shy. Got into this relationship with someone who wanted an open relationship. And he liked going down to the tubs on Friday night. Just, he said it was to release some pressure from the week. and
that's what the that's what the kids are calling it nowadays. Right. Yes.
And so what would happen is we'd be there, and I'd be watching, or I'd wander around, and when I came back, and he'd be fucking somebody, he always called me over, and he wanted me to play with his nipples. That's what cut him off and sort of got me excited. By the end of the night, and he very rarely came in somebody, and at the very end of the night, when we were ready to go home, he said, okay, let's play. So the two of us would play, and then we always had five or six people watching us. And that was turned on to me, not only here, but at CCBC. You know, they have that
CCBC,
whole,
would you define what that is for people who don't?
Cathedral City Boys Club.
Which is a very big bathhouse, basically.
It is a resort.
Yes. A resort. Yes.
It is a resort. And so, I mean, no matter where we went, at the end of the night, we were always putting on the show. And I'm really shocked. That's not what I like. And I like other things that turn me on. Like, I like what somebody looks like. I like them with puppy brown eyes, curly hair. And if they can talk and make sense, that's an instant turn on.
Yeah. Oh, my. I'm liking that.
So anyway, but this was, it was really interesting when he brought the subject up about, you know, being a voyeur. And my ex also liked it when I was in playing with somebody and he just stand there, and all of a sudden I see he's just coming all over the place. And it's like, wait a minute. But it was exciting. It was different. It's something I've never been into. And that was only 8 years ago when I was, 55?
Mm-hmm.
No, 57? Sure. Yeah, so I mean, I learned to like it. And I don't like an idea of open relationship. But basically, that was the only time we really played around. We never had anybody over to the house. But it was interesting to see how my feelings changed. You know?
Interesting. Yeah, Spice, we like that. Yes, please. Mystery guest, yes.
I've never said this out loud, but obviously I like having my shirt off. And I had a really hard time coming out because I thought there was a stereotype growing up that gay men were like this. My sister was a ballet dancer, and that's all I saw. So I was a jock, and I played sports, and all the guys that I played sports with, during when they changed, I always had my locker right next to the cutest one. Mm-hmm. And I got really good at doing this peripheral vision thing.
Oh, yeah.
And because I was really shy, and I didn't stare, but I was really subtle about it.
Mm-hmm.
And any guy that, and I lived in the Central Valley where it gets 105 during the summertime, so a lot of boys were running around with their shirts off. It drove me nuts. And I finally, when I came out, I was like, oh, that's gay. So that's what this is. And it made it easier to accept being gay when I was 20. That was a long time ago. It became, I don't know if it's a correct word as a fetish, but as I got older, I'd go to bars in San Francisco. The only way I could do that, though, was to get high and get drunk.
Right.
And it basically perpetuated that for about 20 years until finally when I'm in this group, it's like, you know what, if it's a fetish group, and what you said, where would get your dick hard?
Yes.
Being shirtless gets my dick hard.
There you go. Now, how do you feel about full nudity? Personally, I vote for it.
Yeah. Go ahead. You should do it.
Oh, me? No, I was reading this book called The Erotic Mind, mm-hmm. and one of the theories that the guy talks about is that if it's forbidden, it often turns guys on, and I was like, oh, so this is sort of forbidden, even though not here so much. But
right.
If I'm walking down the street or running with my shirt off, it turns me on. And my ex-boyfriend used to, he'd grab my crotch and he'd say, oh, God, you're so easy to turn on.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's simple, but it's even the word shirtless, it turns me on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why, but it's you know, and I've got a certain type of guy that I typically like, but, I don't know. It makes me crazy.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very good. Just as a quick share. Yeah, really. Okay. Let's, just as a quick personal share, I like to hike, climb Coles Mountain when the weather's not so goddamn stuffy and sweaty. But one of the things that I like to do is that I like to do it close to noon, because that's when all the cute athletic males with their, you know, very little on are climbing the mountain. And if I'm with my husband, Dennis, we have a signal. We're, you know, that's our little signal. Heads whip around like prairie dogs, you know, because we keep an eye out for each other. And, you know, I formally like to tell them at the beginning of the hike before we start up the mountain, I say, by the way, if you're waiting for permission to perv on the cute guys, you're it's allowed. He says, thanks. Yes, please.
I like both. I'm an exhibitionist in the Warriors, but for me, the biggest turn on is I like to get involved with couples. And when I get in bed, I'm pretty dominant.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to have the person's partner, husband, wife, whatever it is, watch me dominate the other person.
I've got people that want to meet you.
To me that's a turn on. I get a rush out of somebody watching me dominate their
spousal unit. Yeah. Nice. That's a wonderful turn on. How many times do you think this has happened in your life?
In the last 6 months, probably a dozen.
Yeah, speak up for the crew. They want to hear this. In the last 6 months, what?
A dozen.
There you go. Wonderful.
But I do both gay and straight. I don't. I'm not.
Not as picky as you look. Yeah.
I'll fuck a woman and let her husband watch, or I'll fuck a husband and let the wife watch. I don't care. To me, it's not. It's sure. Not important who I'm doing it to. It's more important that I'm doing it and somebody else is watching me do it.
Got
to
it.
To me, that's such just a rush.
Nice. Anybody else in the room, show of hands, that can relate to that? Well, I sure can. Sounds like we have much to discuss. Okay, somebody. Oh, yes, please.
So the most decadent thing I think I've done. And there's been a few, like, especially when you go to Paris, there's a bar called The Keller. And walked in there one night, and it was Yellow Hanky night, and there was a bathtub, and people were laying in it and getting pissed. And then the next night we go in there, the bathroom's gone. They put the wall dropped down, and it became a fisting table. I'm like, oh, this really changed. So that was pretty decadent. I don't know if that's my most turn-on, but the turn-on that I like is Palm Springs. They host this wet and hot thing. And you go there, and the first time I was there, and at night, it's 115 degrees, but the sun's gone, so you be out there, and there's a breeze, and the music is just barely pounding, and the groan of a bunch of guys, and it's very relaxed. People are generous. There's exhibitionists. There's voyeurism. There's the whole thing. Action. It's whatever you want, and everybody seems to be friendly. But that that scene with the weather and just that low, all that testosterone, like, you know, 200 guys, and it's kind of cramped. And it's a big resort, and it's very a low rumble. You barely can. There's a little bit of music, and then that breeze, that warm Palm Springs breeze throat going through there. That's my
thank
thing.
You. Just to be making sure that we're on the same page. When you say everybody is generous, you mean slutty, right?
That's right, piggish.
Yeah, yeah, piggish. Thank you. Very good. All right. Yes, you were going to say.
About, I guess, 5 weeks ago, I told my friend, I'm going to go to Palm Springs. I haven't been there since I was, like, 20 years or something. And he goes, okay, stay at this place called the CCBG. And I said, okay. And he goes, it's a resort. And I said, okay.
Yeah.
So I signed up at the front desk. Right, and I go walking around the corner towards my room. They showed me a map, right? And when I got to the 2 7-foot penises on either side of the sidewalk, I went, I don't know what kind of a resort this is, but I'm probably going to have a good time. And turns out about maybe 20, 30 feet from my room was all these little rooms. Then they had slings, and they had It was like a little festival in there, and it's voyeurism and exhibitionism. I had a really good time. I got laid a lot in one night. Something happened the next day, though. It's about 1 o'clock that it really hit the heat. I said, I got the fuck out of there. I can't stand that kind of heat. And but you know, that whole night I had an amazing time. And now I'm going to go to. About a week ago, I got a text from this guy, and he's like in his 20s, and he said, he texts me, he says, hey, can I get a haircut today, sir? And I said, yeah, about 5 o'clock, and be on time, boy. And he texts me back, and he says, I got the biggest fucking hard-on right now. Anyway, so, yeah, and then lately it's been happening a lot where guys are, I don't know why I'm all of a sudden a daddy, but I like it. Yeah. Anyway, but I need a daddy makeover, okay? Anyway, but well, that's where I'm at right now.
I can help you with that. How old
do
you know?
So sweet.
How old do you know?
Me?
You.
53.
You're at your peak, honey.
Yeah.
This is your prime. Am I wrong about that, gentlemen? No. I think that we've got ourselves the guy who's arriving just as we need him most. Absolutely, yes. So there was somebody else had their hand up. Was it you?
Yes.
All right. And then,
so we're talking about things that really get our dick hard?
Yes.
Mine's kind of iffy, but...
We like that.
The role play of daddy son really gets me going, and usually I'm the daddy, but... I even peruse the internet for real father-son adult content because the incest thing just really gets me going. Mm-hmm. I know it's taboo, can't help it, but, you know, I'll watch videos on XTube that say it's daddy and son, and I don't care whether it's really daddy and son, like blood father and son. I just imagine it, and boom, off I go. Mm-hmm.
Anybody here relate to that? Uh-huh. Yeah. So you're familiar with Handjobs magazine?
No, but I'm familiar with nifty.org.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, yeah. Yeah, there's nifty.org. Would you tell us about it?
Oh, nifty.org has just about any type of sexually explicit story that you're looking for. Father-daughter, mother-daughter, father-son, father-brother, father-brother-son, twins, grandfather-grandson going at it, and it's just...
Yeah. Watching your wife being impregnated by 15 guys.
That's just the section.
Yeah. Nifty.org
is
big.
We were talking about
except
that.
The stuff covered on Raw Top. They don't really cover that on Nifty.
Yeah, yeah. There's... That's somehow or another disappears from the collection.
Yeah, they don't approve of that.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Raw Top.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the overall scope of the site is it's about a person who is I believe from what I understand, he's a porn star, and he does participate in barebacking. He doesn't identify who he is. He doesn't go to great lengths to hide it. I guess he's, you know, a lot of people know. The main part of the site is just basically about where you can go to find different barebacking sites and videos and stories and things like that, and talking about, there's a whole slew of people that are bareback bloggers that, you know, write about their adventures, and so that's kind of the mild side of it, I guess, if you could say that. And then there's what he calls the back room, which is the stuff that involves drug use and people who are pause chasers and bug chasers and are into pausing. And right. Those are fictional stories. So, of course, you know, how fictional some of that is questionable because some of it seems a little too specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the name of that?
RAWTOP, all one word. You just Google that one and there it all is.
Breedingzone.com.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you. And... One of the other additional things that he does, and somehow or another, mystically, I'm an expert on the topic of that website, but, you know, it's hot to me. But I think what I am turned on most by the more raunchy stories that they have on there, you guys know me. I'm a really responsible guy. I mean, I'm not going to harm anybody. I'm going to do everything I can to stop somebody from being harmed if it's happening around me. And deep down secret, I get off on the really irresponsible stories. just the stories. That's my release as far as like, oh, you know, that's hot. But, you know, that's just one of the things that scratches my particular itch, what rings my ring-a-ding-ding. I don't normally show that very often, but, you know, I mean, somebody who is hyper-responsible fantasizes about going the other way. So, who else? Somebody else had their... Yes, please.
Well, I wanted to share one more story. It's a Palm Springs story. I was headed to the barracks one night, and I was on my way, and I dropped by CCBC. The parking lot was jam full, cars spilling out of the parking lot, so I thought, I better go in and see what's going on here, because that's what I... And they said, oh, it's a fisting weekend, fisting night. And I go, well, you know, that's not my thing. I can fist and all that, but I'm sure there'll be people in there that want to fuck and do other stuff. So I went in, and first I found out there's rules. That they have tons of slings all around, tons of slings. I saw a guy sitting on a bed, fisting two people in a sling, and I'm like, wow.
One at each hand, yeah.
One going like that, and I'm like, it's pretty hot, but I'll still find somebody I want to do. But there's rules. Like, you can't just go jump in a sling without having your fister there. They call them sling lizards. They don't want you just sitting there waiting. That's what they're doing. And they've got, there was a lot of rules, but I was like, that was an experience for me. It was, you know, even if, you know, you're not totally into one scene or another, there's usually ways to participate other than, you know, what they designated. But there weren't many. It's serious. It's fisting. There's not just a lot of just fucking going on. It's just what they want to do is the fisters are there. But
sometimes
I
watch it can be as hot
exactly
as actually participating.
Oh, yeah.
What, yeah. Yes. Please.
Yes, you asked me what turns me on. You didn't ask me what actually cranks my tractor.
All right. Let's hear it.
Now, this is about as close as, about as taboo can possibly even get. And this all started off when I was 5 years old, because Mama and Daddy didn't teach me about sex.
Mm-hmm.
I learned it from our dogs.
From what?
Our puppies.
Oh.
And this is one of the reasons I'm into puppy play, because it is full-fledged animal to animal. There is no symphony in it, and it is the biggest fucking turn on that I have in my mind. I can watch it, be a part of it. It only takes 5 seconds, and it'll make me come better and harder than anything on this fucking planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it to this day, and it's one of the reasons I love finding boys that are actually seriously into fucking puppy play, and they seriously got the good mindset for it, because when we go fucking, we will fuck for 8-9 hours nonstop, no holds back, and just go ape shit at it. And that when you're 13 years old and the dog has a 14-inch penis and the damn thing's huge, it's...
Oh, my God, what kind of dog are we talking about?
It's the only dogs that I like and I'm attracted to are Huskies.
Huskies. This explains a lot of our previous... This explains about our previous conversations that just went zing. Got it. There you go.
That's the reason my puppy's a Husky. I love them. I think they're the most beautiful animal on the planet.
Well, I would be scandalized and utterly, you know, just have my wig blown complete. Oh, there, it's gone. I would be really, really more outraged or whatever if I didn't go to IML periodically. And then, you know, you walk past a room and clearly Skippy the Wonder Dog is having a good time. Okay, so then, let's see. Yeah, it's a little bit early. We're going to take a short little break. But before we take a break, we're going to bring up the topic of this particular single-tail whip here. Okay.
I have pictures.
So you have what?
I have pictures.
There you go.
I'll be interested in
that. Yes. Why is this here, and what is this about? The reason why this is here and it's about is that I loaned this particular single-tail whip to our Ron. Ron, come here. Please, I invite you. Please. I'm not going to be striking you with it.
Wait, let me get the ball gag in the hand.
What I didn't predict when I loaned this single tail to him months and months and months ago was that he was going to become single-handedly the single tail aficionado of our community. He has pushed the hell out of it. He's promoted the hell out of it. He's been encouraging people to do stuff. He's gotten me off my dead ass, taking classes and learning how to be much, much better at it, and finding the single-tailed brotherhood and sisterhood that exists here in San Diego. And so then what I'm saying in front of my brothers, along with my brother Ron, is that he has well earned this whip, and I am presenting it to him as my gift of love and respect.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is there anything you'd like to say? No. Okay, don't worry about it, honey. Okay, so let's take a 10-minute break. I'll see you guys at whatever 10 minutes from now is. Doesn't it though? Like men? Yeah. We could have an entire 2-hour session just on man smell, couldn't we? Okay, show of hands. Who likes the smell of a man?
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. Okay. Got it. Aruf. Aruf. Yeah. Well, one of the things, I'm probably getting myself in a lot of trouble here as long as we're sharing personally and openly, but by nature, I am a pimp daddy. What that means is that I lack jealousy. I don't have a shred of jealousy in me. Never have, and I don't expect that I ever will. The way that that shows up is that if I've got a submissive that really has a fantasy of, you know, getting gang fucked or being the center of attention for a whole bunch of tops, well, I just happen to be the kind of man who has enough of a social network to make that happen, you know? You know, I'm not saying that, you know, it's the case in every case, but it has been part of my experience to make sure that that fantasy happens, because that's a big turn-on for me, to see somebody having their fantasies come true. Some of you may have noticed that I have that in me. So having expressed that, so, anybody else have something that they would care to share about, let's say, Palm Springs? We could go many months on just Palm Springs, because what makes them different is that they have different zoning. They have a history of resorts. The resorts that are the slutty ones actually were non-slutty ones for heterosexuals back in the 50s. But, you know, they fell on hard times, and gay guys moved in, and they refurbished them and made them a little bit more whorish. Yes. Who said that? Yes.
Load-bearing.
Yes. Love that. Yeah. Well, those hooks in the ceiling are not for Boston firms. But, you know, I mean, my problem is I'm at an age now, I'm 57, where I want to sleep. And one thing about the CCBC is that if I was to stay there, I wouldn't get any sleep because people would be banging on the door. Any tops in there? And it's like, go away. A man needs his sleep when you get to a certain age. So anyway, so, okay, I'm being real clumsy with this. I'm trying to get back into the groove. That break was just so much fun. But now, you had something that you wanted to share about your own experience with your father and your brothers. Please.
Oh, my. Well, when I was about 10, my parents split, and...
Speak up, yeah.
When I was about 10, my parents split up, and my, who I call my donor, spiraled into a drunken mess. And it got really easy for me to not go to school by saying, "Daddy, I don't feel well." And one morning I did this, and he goes, "Okay, fine, but you have to give me a massage." Well, I went over and I gave him a massage, and then he flipped over on his back, and he started to get a slight erection. And I knew at that point that if I wanted it, I could have taken it, but I was too chicken shit. Many years later, I find out that my two older brothers used to go at it at a regular basis. And it shocked the hell out of me, but it didn't surprise me.
Did you feel a little jealousy?
Not at all, because I'm not attracted to my brothers at all.
Okay, got it. Thank you for clarifying. I needed to know by tomorrow. thank you. Anything else you'd like to share? All right. And what I shared in return, that was during the break, was that I'm one of 10 siblings, and we all went to somebody's cabin to stay the weekend, and it was very crowded because of all the kids, and so then I had to share a bed with my older brother. And so then in the middle of the night, he get a raging hard-on. I think he was like maybe 14 at the time, and I think I was 8. And so then he thought that he'd have some fun by, you know, raping my mouth. What surprised him is that it wasn't particularly rapey, because I was having a great time with it and saying, more please. I'd wake him up saying, I'm ready for more. And he got all creeped out and he wouldn't do it anymore. Isn't it always the case? Yeah. Oh, well. So, having shared that little excruciating thing, is there anybody who would like to share something from their own past? By the way, show of hands, how many people here love the idea of, let's say, brother, dad, uncle type sex? Okay. Yep, yep, yep. Lots of good hands, just so that you know you're not lonely and isolated in this room. Yeah. Not a particularly forbidden topic, but a nice and spicy one. So, yes, you were going to say?
Well, on that note, I've got this 30-year-old that I play with. He's married, and he has a daddy-son fantasy. And he'd never been with a guy before me, and I didn't realize I had that fantasy until he brought it up, and suddenly... Now I can't seem to get enough of it. And I've got a 28-year-old son of my own, so for him to be 32 years older than my own son is kind of a little creepy to me, but not enough to stop.
Uh-huh. All right. Anybody else care to share anything about anything? Okay, we got two. Okay. You first and then you. All right.
All right, I was in Griffin Park, that's in Los Angeles, and I spied this gorgeous Armenian guy, right? I mean, this guy was so curly black hair, just gorgeous. And so I went over and I just unzipped his pants, and I started to go at it, and I was like, my God, what the fuck, man? I've never smelled anything so bad in my whole life. On one level, but so amazing on another. And I'm like, oh my God, he smells so bad, it smells good. And I'm like, and it did not believe me, it did not stop me. And this guy was amazing, the biggest uncut dick. I mean, just everything about this guy was gorgeous. I mean, he had a beautiful face, a gorgeous body, and he was so aromatic. I was like, you know, I'd never encountered that, and I mean, normally, you think, well, you know, he's a little funky, and he was way funky, but I didn't give a fuck. I was so turned on by it that I thought it was amazing. So,
very cool.
That's happened twice. So.
Nice.
Huh?
Same guy.
No, I wish.
Narrowly. Yes, please.
I'd like to ask a question as to if you go out and you look for somebody. Do you actually look for somebody that reminds you of your father? And the only reason I say that is I was dating somebody in the 90s. He was from DuBois, Pennsylvania. We went out, I mean, middle Pennsylvania, there's nothing out there. And we went out there, and he introduces me to his father. And it was like, we were almost twins. And that's what turned him on.
Yeah.
Was, you know... And I just want to know if other people had that same experience.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. I stand in for a lot of people's dads. I really do. You know, my theory about why so many guys want the tall top is because dad was taller back when, you know, somebody was going through formative years. So, yeah. And the view up the nostrils is the same for all tall people. But anyways... So, yes, that's, I mean, anybody else here relate to that?
Well, I was just going to say on the opposite side, I have a daddy thing, but I don't want to look anything like my father.
So I have the ideal dad that was my fantasy father from the time I was little, and he did not resemble my dad in any way.
Got it.
So.
Anybody else?
I may have realized this before. My last boyfriend, we were together for almost 11 years. He looked exactly like my father when he was younger. He was balding, hairy chest, really beautiful, athletic. And he was 5 years younger than me, but I've always been the boy in relationships. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that was weird until I came here, then I hear all these titles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know what that, I mean, I don't know what all the boy stuff means still. I mean, when people talk about it, people are throwing things out. I don't know what it means. I don't know what that role is, or master or slave, so I'm just curious.
Well, that sounds like a topic we could really cover at a future meeting, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and everybody's...
Can we have a demonstration?
Oh, why, yes.
Yeah, good.
Are you volunteering?
No.
Oh. Okay, somebody else had their hand up. There you go. Just try coming.
It's not as fun. Violence.
Say it again?
Violence.
Tell me about it.
Slamming someone down, hurting them, getting off on it.
Mm-hmm.
I use my powers for good. Mm-hmm. And I've discussed it with a certain young man about what we call keeping the cereal inside.
Could you speak up for everybody? Yeah. Oh. Say that again.
As I used to talk to a certain young man here, so we used to have a conversation about keeping our cereal inside. You may think stuff, but you don't do it.
Right.
Because I think my first time here, you told me about sociopaths that will do it. And
yeah.
I do know of them.
Yeah.
Both here and in D.C.
Mm-hmm. And there's a certain market for sociopaths, as I've said, that there are people that are, turned off by the idea of someone who will give them aftercare or something like that. And that's their pleasure. And my problem is that I'm so heavily biased on the topic that I probably, have not given some people a valid voice. And I worry about that sometimes. Because what the problem with me in terms of the whole violence and harm and damage and all the rest of that stuff for me is that I have a trigger in me that if I see it happening, I have to stop it. That's why I have to leave the room. Let's say torture porn movies like Saw, or Saw 4 or any of that. I can't be in the room with them. I have to leave right away because if I can't prevent it from happening, I can't be around it. Because at some point there's a hardwired, reaction inside me where I have to stop it. I call it Clark Kent response, where you rip open the shirt, da-da-da, I'm going to stop it. So, for what it's worth. So I tend not to hang around those kind of parties. Yes.
Yeah, speaking to your point, I think you're talking about violence and your point talking about being against violence. I'm conflicted on it. I think that's part of why... No. I'm
just bringing
up
topic.
As far as fantasy.
Right.
And what gets me off. There used to be a site on the internet called Grease Tank. And they used to have...
Grease Tank.
And they had all these artists that would make drawings. And they were awesome. And a lot of them were like thugs and, guys in alleys getting raped and things like that. And that, for me, is real hot. It's a turn-on. But, the reality, obviously, is very different, unless it's controlled. And it's just a scene. So... that's where, I think that's part of fetishizing things for me is a way of controlling fear of those things on some level. I think that's how it works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I subscribe to a lot of Tumblr RSS feeds. Who here is familiar with Tumblr? T-U-M-B-L-R. Yes, we have quite a few. Tumblr is a place for people who like to post pictures of what gets them going. If somebody's really into men in Speedos, or somebody who's really, really, really into you name it, it's out there. You know, one that I saw is all about red-haired men's buttholes.
Yes.
That's all they talk about. Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. I have to admit it. I do like a red-headed man. Red on the head like the dick of a dog. Arrgh. But that's neither here nor there. The point is that one of the Tumblr feeds that I subscribe to, and I'll be damned if I can remember what it is. This is one of those times where the memory would really be nice if it was working. But it's all about forbidden stuff. It's about guys with bloody brass knuckles, or somebody with, you know, a really swollen eye, or somebody with putting a gun into somebody else's mouth, or whatever. There's just so much of it. And that's what gets some people off big time. And yet, here I am subscribed to the feed. I've never done any of those things. So, you know, of course, it brings the question, what the hell am I doing on that, you know, subscribing to it? I don't know. I'm not going to spend a lot of time thinking about it, but, you know, there's a few things that I rather like in there. Because, like I said, being the guy who wants to protect people, the hotness comes from thinking, oh, you know, there needs to be one day where we don't have to be so damn responsible. I don't know. I'm not going to spend much time, interpreting where fantasies come from. Because let's face it, fantasies are not logical. They're not particularly dependable. They're not particularly predictable. They are just exactly what they are. And they respond to a lot of our youthful programming. They're part of decisions that we made when we first saw our brother naked. I won't say, you know, that that's, you know, something that happened with me. Or, you know, that it's all something that cranks us. But one of the things that I always mention is, isn't it nice that we're all not into the same damn thing? I've made this point before. Because we're supposed to, as gay males, to all desire the same damn thing. I think we've pretty much learned the reality of that. That desire is fluid. That everybody's into what it is that they're into. And this whole conversation tonight is about celebrating the fact that we're not all into the same thing, so it gives a lot of us a lot more good chance of getting laid as a result. Yes?
So I was raised with a born-again Christian mother, and I went to church probably 6-8 times a week. And for some reason, that magazine Demon Sex was very much of a turn-on for me. I think it was just because it was wrong, and it was, you know, it just seemed like the worst thing you could do. And I don't know if it was just me being in the face of God or thinking I was being like that, but looking in those pages, I mean, I would never really necessarily want, you know, under right mind, invite that on, but it just kind of turned me on just to see the pages. Have you seen that?
No, and I was just going to say, for the rest of us, could you describe what you would see in the pages of Demon Sex?
Demon Sex, it was just, it's like, well, I see it in magazine stores in San Francisco, but it's about, you know, these hot, huge, like, muscly men getting fucked by demons, and
yeah,
it was, you know, it's nothing that nothing that I particularly you know, ever admit to a family member, but totally turned me on. I could not put it down, and I told this to my sponsor at the time. I'm like, well, what the fuck? And I, you know, I have a totally different concept of God. I really believe that in my concept, and now I believe that God is kind of dark and light. There's, in fact, we are drawn to the darkness as much as we are drawn to the light, is what I believe. And I think that in our innate creatures, we, you know, we're defined by both.
Yeah.
So when I used to have a huge guilt trip about liking to look at it, now it's just.
There you go. Now it just makes your dick hard and you're happy about it. What the hell, right? Good for
so
you.
I do suggest to look at it. It's
cool.
That demon sex.
Demon sex. Now, you had your hand up, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, I just wanted to make two comments to these two and for him. I am kind of, in a weird way, kind of chasing my grandfather. I mean, Jesus Christ, the guy's 7'2 and almost 300 and something pounds of nut but muscle. And still to this day, it's hard to find somebody who makes me feel tiny. Not makes me feel small. I'm talking about tiny. And yeah, it's one of my biggest turn-ons. Now, for y'all, I like to watch the show Spartacus. And a lot of times you'll see them, and they're whipping the guys. And they do these long, very, very thin gashes. Now, that's one of my fantasies, but I'm trying my damnedest to make it real. I just got to find a top that actually knows how to use a bullwhip or a, what do you call it, single tail.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I want the guy to whip the living piss. I mean, break my skin and basically...
Yes.
I want to basically... Yes, I mean, I want him to break
we
my skin.
We have a match,
skin.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
in the passion of the Christ scene, I can give you one. Be careful what you
do. Oh, yes.
That's
yes.
right.
Please, please. I love that. That's what I've been looking for.
Right.
Did you do it now?
That's it. Fuck yeah. That's it. I'll just put it up right here.
You got it.
Yeah.
They're not permitted to do it in this space.
Aww. Yeah. But like this. See, the only problem is then we'd have to get a mop and sponges and
bleach
to, so that in case CSI comes in, then they won't find stuff all over the wall.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, get out the black lights.
Yeah, really. Yeah, because I've done that. I mean, for people that are... See, I think I've explained this, but I am a very, very nice guy until I'm not. I have a beast in me. I've expressed this before. I don't know if I've recorded this particular talk, but I have a very, very, very dark heart in that I have a lot of rage, unexpressed rage from an abusive childhood, and I need to take it out periodically and let it run and play. Otherwise, I'd be in prison somewhere. So I choose only to express it to people with people that can keep up and the people that want it. And I'm very, very ethical about it in that I want to make sure that the people that are asking for it are going to get exactly what it is that they're looking for and maybe just a little bit extra because I got to help them push their envelope. But I have done extremely, extremely hardcore scenes, a lot of blood play, a lot of cutting, a lot of... You know, one of my play buddies years ago, I nicknamed him Hamburger Harold, you know, because that was what really got him going, was just single-tailing the hell out of him. And boy, he had some serious calluses by the time I was done with him. But what I'm saying is that, to me, that's a healthy way of letting out the beast. Because despite all my preaching about sociopaths and horrible, you know, this and that, blah, 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 what I'm reacting to is the other side of the coin of me. And I'm truthful about that. And I'm not going to be bullshitting anybody. So, you know, there's a lot of that darkness in me. And that's why I hang out with the kinky crowd, because that's where the grateful ones are, who are glad that I showed up. You know, for what it's worth. So, there, I got to document that for about the 15th time. But this time, it's on audio. Okay, so there was somebody else who had their hand up. I'm trying to figure out who. Everybody point.
We'll have a drink later.
That's right. Yeah, let's get two or three drinks in him, and then let's ask him. So anyway, so we are doing an awful lot of honesty here, which is nice. The point I want to make about the whole honesty thing with this crew, have you noticed that people have not been punished for being truthful, for being authentic? That we all have different fantasies, we all have different things that crank our chains, or whatever the hell phrase you'd want to call it. But the reason why we're getting along so well is because even though we know what's underneath, we still like each other. That's really, really important. You know, acceptance is crucial. It doesn't work if only the elite in the corner is getting it. It works best if everybody's getting a slice of acceptance. Joy works best when everybody has some, and so does just letting people off the hook. You know, saying, ew, I don't want to talk to him anymore. Well, let's face it. We've all got our dirty underside, whether you're willing to talk about it tonight or, you know, maybe next time, you know. And that's fine. So, let me think. I'm kind of running out of ideas. I mean, I warn you guys, if you guys don't start raising your hands, start sharing stuff, I'm going to start telling stories. Yes, please, let's hear it. Boy, look at all those hands going up. My God, yes.
Something you were talking about before about the fact that you like playing with others in a scene that they're, you know, with a lot of other people. how the focus is on them.
Yep.
That's always something that I have liked as well. Like my when my partner is, you know, getting attention from others and whatnot. Unfortunately, in my the last relationship I was in, he was like completely monogamous, and so he would never even consider like doing something with someone else. So the fact that I'm in a relationship now where that can happen makes me really happy.
Yeah, I see you smiling. Yeah, I'm hoping you're smiling at both ends. You like that? So yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what it is about seeing someone that I'm with, like with someone else, and like being happy, but it just like really gratifies me.
Yeah, and I really relate to that. You know, I mean, jealousy to me, as an outsider, is just insecurity. And it always has been. And if I see someone that I love having a great time, what could be nicer than that for me? I want them to thrive. I want them to have a full life experience of wonderful, you know, variety, because, like I said, this is not a practiced lifetime. If I'm shutting somebody down and restricting them, that says more about me than about them. But that's just me. I'm an outsider to the whole jealousy concept. It's alien to me. So, like, for instance, how many times have I introduced other tops to you for different purposes, offhand?
Half a dozen.
Half a dozen. I remember it somewhat differently. Yes. Rather more, yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How quickly we forget.
Yeah.
And I'm the one with the crummy memory. Yeah. Well, see, the purpose, see, it's not his fantasy to be gang shagged or anything like that. It never has been. But I train tops. I think we've all figured that out. I do it all the time. Well, one of the ways that I like to do that is by bringing tops in on our play session and teaching, using him as our crash test dummy, so to speak, for lack of a better term. But, you know, that he gets to be the focus of attention. He gets to have, you know, a very powerful experience with somebody who uses a different style or has different interests or whatever, because he's been a very good, good husband to his husband for how many years? 36 and a half years. And then he suddenly realized, holy crap, I need to find out what else I am capable of. And so then I saw that immediately, and my job is to make sure that he has every opportunity to try stuff out. And as a result, we have, let me see. No, there's a bunch of them. I want to remind you, there's a bunch of them. No, no, it won't be that one, but there, we have a lot of them. Okay, this is the one that I'm throwing at people right now. Very good. What I'm showing is a picture of the slave with a bunch of tops around him, and he is ecstatically happy because everybody's loving him, everybody's playing with him, everybody's treating him as the party favor, so to speak. And see, to me, that's part of being an ethical top, giving opportunities for transformational experiences for the submissive. I consider that to be his birthright. That after all these years of having no experiences, were, you know, then now he's getting as many as he can keep up with. That's very, very important to me. Oh, yeah, thank you. Yes, we remember that. Yes. And yes. But the reason why this is important, why I bring this up again, being outside, you might remember that.
I remember.
Oh, yeah, we should. But the point that I'm leading up to is that no one is harmed by fulfilling this particular fantasy. Instead, everybody has an extra life experience that they're going to look back on 40 years from now saying, yeah, that's nice. So to me, jealousy just kind of trips me up. It ties my shoelaces together if I'm going to engage in it. Instead, let's play. You know? How are we going to know what his greatest pleasures can be if only one person is finding out? What if multiple people are dedicated to his having a great time while they have themselves a really rocking good time? And as a but see, there's also the consequence that if someone is a trained submissive, a well-known trained submissive, frankly, it makes them extremely desirable to a lot of tops. Because somebody who doesn't need training, frankly, is very, very, very desirable to most tops. You know, they've already been broken in, so to speak. So there's that. So somebody else had their hand up. I'm trying to remember who. Pardon me? All right, let's see it. What would you like to share?
I have that, too.
Speak up, please.
I have had that, too, where I forget. That was 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
Give me the time.
So you don't remember what you're going to say?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. So, all right. I'm talking. All right. So, once again, I'm going to threaten. I'll tell stories. Yes. All right.
I went to the health clinic, and they made you sign a paper that said, how many sexual partners have you had in the last 6 months?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's 0 to 5, 5 to 20, 20 to 50. But it got up to 500 or more.
Oh, uh-huh.
So I was counting, and I was counting. It's just way more than 500 in 6 months.
Really?
Yes. And I was thinking,
I think we have found our.
I love anonymous sex. I don't want to know your name. And if you had you, I say, next. That's my turn on.
Right. Got it. I think we have the winner of the Silver Stallion Award here. Good for you. Well, for what it's worth, you know, my history of doing that was back in the 70s and early 80s, and I would have kept up with you side by side easily, you know, for what it's worth. That's what we did back then. You know, I was in that social circle back then, and I have to tell you, I have some really happy memories of that. So, God bless you. You're doing the Lord's work. You're making a lot of men very happy, I'm assuming. You know, how would you put yourself on the scorecard?
Scorecard?
Yeah, I mean, do you think that you leave them smiling?
Oh, jeez. Yes, they make a lot of noise. No, I got a late start. I started when I was 49.
Mm-hmm. So you made up for lost time.
Yeah, I had to hurry.
Got it. So you're how old now?
59.
There you go. I'm 57 and a half. I'm big for my age. But yes, good for you. Well, shake the hand of a jealous man. Suddenly I'm jealous, you know. All right, yes, please.
Jealousy to me has two different side effects. You have your slave, okay, and there's no jealousy between Dennis, his husband, mm-hmm. because they know where they're at.
Right.
Jealousy with me is I'm with somebody, and maybe it's because it was a monogamous relationship, which turned into an open one. But I always had that fear of he's going to meet somebody, and he's going to meet somebody that he likes better than me.
Yep.
And therefore, he's going to say, okay, fine, goodbye, out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is my fear of jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once I got over that by going out and doing different things, and then finally I said, fine, go, goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I say there's two different types of jealousy.
How so? I mean, could you list them?
Okay, the one that I'm talking about is the jealousy. They're going to go out, and they're going to play with people. And then, you know, you're afraid that they are going to meet someone else.
Right.
And that is a horrible jealousy.
Right,
that's something it's hard to live with.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're jealous because they pick somebody else up that's cuter than you. And that's another type of jealousy, you know. Or you come to a meeting like this and you hear stories, and I say, well, wait a minute, what am I doing wrong? You know, that's another type of jealousy. People are jealous of people that go out and they can pick people up, 1, 2, 3.
Takes a lot of determination.
Yeah.
Yeah. To do that. Not everybody has that drive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned me. You know, I mean, you guys have already heard. I have a full-time husband. I have a slave. Got a leather boy. I got a whole lot of people that I mentor. And you know, that's me. I've said this before, that my husband has met all of my submissives, and I've had a lot of them over the decades, and he loves them all because I have excellent taste, and he knows it. He knows that if I bring somebody into the family on whatever tangential level, that these are people that I can vouch for. These are people of excellent character who are not going to walk out with the silverware, as if we had any, but you know what I mean. But like I said, he uses me as a seeing eye dog because I have such big antennas for detecting people's character and their nature. And that if he meets them through me, he knows they're great people. So they're his friends. That's just how it works for us. He also, another way of saying it is that living with me is sort of like trying to get a drink of water from a fire hose or sitting too close to a bonfire. A little bit of me goes a long way, and there's a lot of me. I'm a very intense human being. You may have noticed. So my sweetheart, my husband, he has as much of me as he can tolerate, and then he says, go play, please. Because there's the stuff that I'm into, he's absolutely not into. He's utterly vanilla. He's as vanilla as they come. That's okay. We've negotiated. The reason why he's not worried that I'm going to find somebody better and go running off with them is because I stay in communication with him. That the balance that he provides in my life, I don't find elsewhere. That our relationship has never really been based on sex. I mean, it was fine when we were courting and all that, but if it was just about sex, we wouldn't be together. We communicate on an entirely different level, and that suits me. And like I think I mentioned recently, we celebrated 23 years together and 22 years married about a month ago. And that's not a brag. It just is what it is. And so, Slave, when how long have we been together?
3 years, sir.
Yeah? And my boy, Ray, I've been together with him 14 years. So, you know, and he loves them. They're his best friends. Yes?
I think that part of the problem when...
Speak up, please.
I think that part of the problem when we're talking about multiple partners in a relationship, whether it be dad, son, slave, master, whatever, is the mindset that, you know, just like straight people, if you go with someone else, then that must be the end of the initial
right.
relationship.
Of course.
And I think that, you know, it's like holding on to sand. The harder you grip it, the more you lose.
Yep.
And I feel like that's where jealousy does not belong in a relationship. I mean, you have to negotiate what your relationship is, your ideal, and what you want. And after a certain amount of time, of course, sex is going to die down, maybe, in some relationships. And that's not common. But,
yeah.
You know, overall, you know, it's if you view relationships as the Christian straight people do,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, seeing outside a relationship is going to be wrong. It's going to be taboo. It's going to be... So it's like, you know, you have to kind of, you know, decide for yourself prior to having any jealousy that what you want in your relationship and have that fully discussed with your partner. I think communication is the key.
Thank you. Well...
I don't think that you decide...
No, of course
not. You either are or you're not. I live in a polyamorous relationship. At one point, there were five of us in the family. Jealousy doesn't even come into the picture there for anybody that's in a relationship like that or has been in a relationship like that. It can't, because if it does, then the other people in that relationship, no matter how many or how few there are, become... I'm looking for a word. Resentful.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm thinking that if you view relationships as the Christian straight people
right.
do, then you have no business going outside a relationship at all unless
right.
you're breaking up. And I think that in this discussion we're talking about is that
jealousy's got to be never present to begin with, or you're never going to have a successful friend or play partner or fuck buddy or, you know, whatever outside your initial relationship. I think that's the beauty of it, is not having the jealousy. And it's sometimes it has some work on oneself to do that, but I think since I've been in a relationship that absolutely was so much fun, and I've been in a relationship that was, you know, the rules were no kissing, no sleeping with the person, but everything else was okay. But the person really wasn't truthful in that they were saying, yeah, you go fuck off if that's what you need, but he really didn't want me to do it. The truth of the matter is you cannot have any jealousy or it's just not okay. You know, but you have to kind of decide for yourself what kind of relationship you want. And it's got to be truthful. If you want an open relationship with your, you know, you've got to be, the communication is the key. You have to be honest with yourself and you have to be honest with whoever you're with. But, yeah, I see what you're saying. So I was also in a relationship with multiple partners, and, yeah, their jealousy was there, but it wasn't necessarily on my part.
Got it. Our culture, all around us, the environment that we live in, is all about jealousy. You walk into the supermarket, you're in the checkout line, and there's the National Enquirer. Brad betrays Janet. Or whatever the hell, you know, that it's, they use loaded terms. You know, you hear about big, big, big divorces where he was found betraying her, and therefore immediately relationship is done. She gets everything. He gets fucked over. Hey, well, that's just the way life is. What really damaged my acceptance of that was that when I was young, I had a lot of role models. I lucked out really, really big because when I was his age, when I was 20, I was with a boyfriend that was 42, and he knew all of the long-term couples who ran the avocado and macadamia ranches up in North County, over there at Old Highway 395. This was in the mid to late 70s. And all of these elderly male couples ran these ranches. They had the fattest dogs you ever saw in your life, because when the dog finds, you know, a slightly buried avocado, he's going to eat it. And, oh, man, those dogs were very fat. But the point is that they would host pool parties every month where they would rotate to this pool party, to this pool party, because all these ranches had pools. And I got to meet couples who'd been together 53 years, 49 years, 47 years, 42 years. You know, it was nothing. It was common. I'd be the, other than my boyfriend, I'd be the youngest person there by 40 years. But I would ask them, how the hell, see, I didn't even know before I met them that it was possible to have long-term relationships. It never showed up anywhere in the culture. Nobody told me. And I would ask them, how the hell are you doing it? And they would tell me, you have to be truthful. Men are sluts. So let's just be honest about it. Men are wired to spread it around. Women are wired to protect the nest. That's why we have the loaded terms, because we live in a culture that's all about the heterosexual normative type viewpoint. And yes, I've editorialized about this before. I hope no one runs crying out of the room, but, you know, this is just something that I personally observed. And again, I brought this up in the past, but I don't think for the audio listening crew, there's a book that I strongly recommend that you buy used because it's no longer in print. And I will, when I post the link to this audio, I will include the link to the book itself. It's called The Male Couple, by Drew Madison and David McWhorter, which was a long-term male couple who were living in La Jolla at the time, and they were my friends. And it is a breakthrough book because it was the first time that anybody had done a real scientific study of actual long-term male-male homosexual relationships. Nobody had ever done it before. It came out in 1979. And one of the things that they pointed out is that they discovered that there are certain unbreakable patterns of male-male relationships over the decades, that there's this phase you go through, then there's this phase you go through, then there's this phase you go through, and then, you know, but each time the phase changes, people think, oh my God, something's broken. We're not the same thing anymore. Oh my God. But it's normal for the relationships to change over time. And the ones that stick together are the ones that are most honest. What they found was that of the relationships, and they tested hundreds of couples, but of the relationships that had been together, 10 years or longer, 0% of them were sexually monogamous. The relationships that lasted were honest about, honey, I love you, and I need a night out. But when they're honest, then they stay. If they're dishonest, oh no, I'm still being true. I'm still being virtuous. I'm still, staying loyal to you. Again, the loaded terms. Those are the relationships that break up because they're not really being all that honest with each other. Like I was saying, when I first met my husband, the first thing I did is I had him read the goddamn book so he understood where I was coming from. And I credit that for the fact that we've been together 23 years now, because I would do things just to make sure that he got the message. Like we would be driving down 6th Avenue along Balboa Park. There would be some hot fucking guy jogging, wearing nothing but a pair of nylon shorts and some running shoes, and he's going flop, flop, flop. And I'd say, honey, check it out. He'd say, what? I'd say, oh, come on. You can't see it? He says, but why are you telling me? I said, because you like it, don't you? I want my honey to be happy. Okay. He'd never had that in a relationship before. But, I mean, why not? Like I said, we constantly, do meerkat thing. Oof, cutie, we pay attention. Yeah, squirrel, exactly, paying attention. And it's a joyful thing for us. We have our little terms and all that sort of stuff. He's into different kind of guys than I am, but I help him find the ones that he likes, and he helps me find the ones that I like. And it's a happy relationship. And no one comes to harm. But more than that, we've bought out of the overall, what do they call it in the recent book? The recent book, I'll mention this too, is called Sex at Dawn, D-A-W-N. I mentioned this a few months back, but this is the first time for our audio listening audience. Sex at Dawn landed like a bomb upon the sociology world, because it says we are not wired to be monogamous at all. If we were wired to be monogamous, we wouldn't need people constantly preaching at us to be monogamous. If we were wired to be monogamous, we wouldn't have the divorce rate that we've got. It is imposed upon us by a culture that keeps trying to convince us that this is natural, this is normal, and it's not. And I tend to endorse this book very thoroughly. It's a good book. The reason why is they make the case perfectly. Like I said a few months back before we started recording, the reason why your dick is shaped the way that it is, why it has a head on it versus, say, a gibbon's dick, which doesn't have a head on it. The gibbon is a great ape, too. The difference is the head of your dick is meant to suction another man's cum out of the way so that yours has a chance at fertilizing the egg. The reason why, of all the great apes, why we make loud noises during sex. Well, think about this. You're out on the savannah. You're, an Australopithecus, and you're having a whole lot of fun. There's a bunch of you having a gangbang, and you're making a whole bunch of noise, and the jaguar, is hearing all that noise. Well, if you've got 26 of you, then that jaguar is not going to fuck with you. That what they do is they describe the different great apes and what their patterns are. Gibbons are monogamous. They're pretty much the only great apes that are monogamous. And as long as we keep trying to tell ourselves that, well, we've got to fit into this box, we've got to fit into this box of monogamy, then relationships break up and we blame ourselves. The fact of the matter is, like I said, men particularly are sluts. One of the things that they assert in this book is that women, the reason why it takes them so goddamn long to get wound up, is that usually it needs at least two or three guys in order to get her cranked. And it sounds blasphemous, but it is what they say. And frankly, I tend to buy into that. How many guys here have had sex with women and liked it? Okay, that's the question. Yeah, really. How many? Raise your hand and where it just was not your cup of tea. Raise your hand. Got it.
How many never had it?
There you go. Gold star gaze. All right, it is what it is.
Yeah, it was gross.
Pardon me, gold star gaze. Like gold star lesbians who've never had sex with a man? That's just a slang term. Yeah. So somebody had something to say? I thought I heard somebody. Okay, don't worry about it. I'm editorializing. I do that. Yes, please.
I just want to bring up one thing that came to mind with the whole, you know, nuclear family thing and, you know, the one man, one woman thing and living up to that expectation and expecting gay men to fall into that same category is it actually created another dark fantasy in and of itself because I know from personal experience and also from other people who have been through it, you may have a partner who insists on monogamy and then behind your back they are cheating on you.
And that's extra hot.
And it's really hot to them and, you know, it's something that I judge that person for rather harshly, but then I said, well, I've got my own things that are rather dark too. But, you know, well, yeah, it was dangerous because he almost got seriously injured. So it's actually created another taboo in and of itself just by the fact that, you know, they know that they're doing something that's potentially, you know, hurtful to them and just to someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, we could go way deep into that.
Yeah.
Say what? Well, tell you what, it's, yes, you were going to share. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I wanted to get back on topic because there were a few things I wanted to
speak up, please.
Well, one of the subjects for the taboo subjects was bug chasing.
Yep.
And nobody touched on that, which I'm kind of surprised by.
Yep.
At least from my perspective. I'm negative, but I get off on the fantasy.
Yep.
And I can jack off thinking about it. And get off, but I wouldn't go there. Mm-hmm. And I can watch guys get fucked in the ass raw and take loads up their butts, and you know, that's hot for me to watch.
Show of hands, who can relate? Yep, a lot of people.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, but that's a very taboo subject still, I think, among a lot of people.
Well, you know, it just brings up the whole topic of why something's extra spicy because it's forbidden or whatever. Because really, what we're really hungering for in that particular case, in my opinion, is just dropping the shields and just going for it. And that's so attractive because a lot of times we don't allow that in ourselves. We're always, you know, being responsible, always being the one that, you know, I'll take care of the rest of you or whatever. I mean, I'm saying from my own experience. But I have to admit that I tend to jack off to bug-chasing porn myself. Sit again?
Me too, Pooh.
Yeah. Anybody else? Bug-chasing is where people are talking about intentionally infecting someone else with HIV, and it is also known as gift-giving because the concept is that by infecting somebody, you are releasing them from fear and condoms and condemnation, where they can just go wild. And so then that's something that, you know, there are people who have been virtuous, 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 virtuous forever, but secretly deep down, you know, what they're really, really fantasizing about is just being a complete pig and going wild and uninhibited without any restraints whatsoever. Show of hands, who can relate to that? Let's all be truthful here. So, yes?
I had a question. All right. I don't like bisexual porn. I don't like women, you know, at all. But I love two straight guys fucking a woman. But I don't like women. I don't understand it. But I don't like bi, though, at all. I think it's the two guys in bi are really into each other. And in the straight porn, they're not. Does that make sense to anybody?
It does.
But just me?
Yeah.
And they're very detached from each other, even though they're using the same fucking hole. The same hole.
Yeah.
Both of them at the same time. I like that, but I don't, you know, because I like the detachment of the two guys being very detached from each other.
Interesting.
It's, yeah, it is.
Yeah. And notice I'm not spending a lot of time analyzing it. I don't care. You know, it's what gets you happy, gets you off. That's good. What were you going to say?
I didn't know.
Oh, okay.
I was making it clear. I said, I'll judge him for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, really. Yes, please.
I had this wonderful experience that I didn't like. And I was put in the position to have a relations with a man and a woman, but I was interested in the guy. And he wanted me to fuck his girlfriend. I was so turned on, I couldn't get an erection.
Really?
Turned off. Did I say turned off?
Did you say turned on or turned off?
I got turned off.
Oh, okay. Because I think you said turned on, and I was saying
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I really did.
Well, yeah, I mean.
And it was the smell.
It was what?
The smell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I'm not even going to go there. Nah. It's best if we just draw the...
Ian likes it, right?
Not so much.
No, I'm not going to do my usual room-clearing stories. You know, it's called conversation killers. Some of the stuff I could talk about, but let's move on. Gentlemen, I think we've covered an awful lot. We kind of wander all over the place because that's what I like. The reason why I like the wandering is because I want the conversation to go the way that the room needs it to go. And it's not always a linear thing. And I'm really, really glad that so many people shared today. I was really worried that it would be a lot harder than this. But this one was a very good one tonight. And I thank everybody for contributing in your own way and in your own level. So thank you, gentlemen. Let's have a lovely evening. All right, thank you.